Ulfi Ravensko, MD, PhD, is a specialist in internal medicine and nephrology, and he's also the author of The Cholesterol Myths. In this book, he exposes the fallacy that saturated fat and cholesterol cause heart disease. Ulfi Ravensko spoke in Sydney in August 2006. Ravensko asks his eager audience if they are worried about their cholesterol levels.
How many of you are concerned about your cholesterol? How many of you think that your cholesterol is high and should be lowered? Oh yes, that's quite a lot. Hopefully I shall calm you down now. High cholesterol is seen as a cause of heart disease because it's a risk factor for heart disease. And what is meant with that, I have already told about, if you have a high cholesterol, your risk of dying from heart disease is higher than if it's low. The first who came up with that idea was researchers again from Framingham. It was 1961. They followed about 1,200 people from this town just outside Boston. And after some years, they saw that those who got a heart attack, they had a little higher cholesterol than the others. And here is a figure that should illustrate that. I shall try to explain it. I understand many of you are not familiar with the way scientists talk. This is a diagram, and on the horizontal line you have cholesterol. The more far you come to the right, the higher is your cholesterol. And on the vertical line is given the numbers of people in percentage. And the dashed line represents people with heart disease, and the other line is people who had not heart disease. You will see here the difference is very small. In fact, these two curves are overlapping each other to a high degree, and in fact many individuals with heart disease, they had low cholesterol. These are people with heart disease, and these are people without heart disease. Their cholesterol values doesn't differ that much.
As Ulfi Ravensko informed his audience, cholesterol is very important for the proper functioning of the human body.
First, I will tell you a little about cholesterol. What is cholesterol? Many people think that cholesterol is a poison. We should have as little as it as possible. But cholesterol is indeed a very important molecule for us all. Cholesterol is a major constituent in our cell walls. We use cholesterol for thinking. It's vital for normal cerebral function. Cerebral cells produce their own cholesterol to be sure that it's function okay. We use it when we produce sex hormones, when we produce adrenal hormones, the stress hormones, and we use it when we produce vitamin D, when we're going on the beach. Cholesterol and the sun together make vitamin D. We use it for producing bile. Bile is vital because without bile you cannot get in all the fat-soluble vitamins. It's an antioxidant, meaning that it is able to combat toxic chemicals. And it is produced by almost every cell in the body. And if you eat too little cholesterol, all cells start producing more cholesterol. If you eat much cholesterol, the production goes down. A common sense tells us very unlikely that an important molecule with all these important functions, that just because it's a little higher than normal, that it should be able to produce a fatal disease.
There is a condition where some people are born with an extremely low cholesterol level. This is called the Smith-Lemli-Opitz syndrome. Children born with this condition have very low cholesterol because the enzyme that is necessary for the last step in the body's synthesis of cholesterol doesn't function properly. Most children with this syndrome are either stillborn or they die early because of serious malformations of the central nervous system. Those who survive are imbecile, they have extremely low cholesterol and suffer from frequent and severe infections. However, if their diet is supplemented with pure cholesterol or extra eggs, their cholesterol goes up and their bouts of infection become less serious and less frequent. Ufi showed his audience a photo of one of these children and told us how this is commonly a fatal condition.
This is just a picture of unlucky girl who has been born with very low cholesterol, just to illustrate how important cholesterol is. This is not too rare condition. She is not able to produce cholesterol. Her cholesterol is very, very low, between 0.2 and 1.6. Most of these children are stillborn. Some of them survive, and they all have mental defects, and they suffer from serious and frequent infections. So cholesterol is a good friend. Now we have left common sense.
Contrary to what you have heard for many years, high cholesterol does not cause arteriosclerosis, according to Uffe Ravensko, author of The Cholesterol Myths.
My first argument is that high cholesterol does not cause arteriosclerosis. And next picture will show that. This has been shown in many, many studies. Researchers have examined the vessels of dead people and compared the degree of arteriosclerosis with their cholesterol levels. And here's the first one, published already 70 years ago, and it showed that there is no association whatsoever. Cholesterol is on a horizontal level, and degree of atherosclerosis is on a vertical level. If it was true that high cholesterol produced atherosclerosis, we should have expected a lot of dots, and the rest should be in the lower left corner. But you see, there's absolutely no association. If anything, those with normal and low cholesterol, they are more atherosclerotic than those with high cholesterol. I have found 7 or 8 similar studies. They all come up with the same result. I can show you the more recent one, the next picture. It is performed with another technique called electron beam tomography. This is a technique where you can get a measurement of the amount of calcium in the coronary vessels. And here you see again, the cholesterol is on the horizontal line, the degree of calcification is on the vertical line. There's no association, it's like the starry sky. If anything, there's an inverse association. Those with the lowest LDL cholesterol were more sclerotic than those with the highest. Before the cholesterol campaign started, a normal value would be between 4 and 8, about that. But now the normal upper level is constantly level. Every other year we get a new message. Now the upper normal level is, I think it's 4.7. So most of you have high cholesterol according to the American guidelines.
Ravensko presents his second argument, that high cholesterol is not a risk factor for most people.
My second argument is that high cholesterol is not a risk factor for most people. I'll show you. High cholesterol is not a risk factor for women. Have you ever heard that? Those who have read my book have, of course, I guess that the rest of you have never heard about that. In spite of that, women are treated with cholesterol-lowering treatment. No, almost all studies show high cholesterol is not a risk factor for women. It is not a risk factor for Canadian men. It is not a risk factor for Russians. In Russia, low cholesterol is a risk factor for heart disease. It is not even a risk factor for patients who already have had a heart attack. It is not a risk factor, not even for those who have familial hypercholesterolemia, meaning that they are born with very high cholesterol levels. These people die, some of these die at a young age, but not that many that we are told about. But after age 60, those with familial hypercholesterolemia, they live just as long as other people, although their cholesterol is 2 to 3 times higher than most of ours. And now we come to the most exciting observation. High cholesterol is not a risk factor for old people. Think about that. In Sweden, at least, more than 90% of those who die from heart disease, more than 90% of all cardiovascular deaths, they occur in people above age 65. So for the large majority of people, high cholesterol is not a risk factor. Why should we care about cholesterol if it's not a risk factor?
The last argument given by Ravensko is that you cannot lower your risk of heart disease by lowering your cholesterol.
My third argument is you cannot lower your risk of dying from heart disease by lowering cholesterol. I'm sure this is a surprise for most of you, but I shall explain. This is the first meta-analysis of all the cholesterol trials. I published it in 1992 in the British Medical Journal. At that time, there were 26 what we call controlled randomized trials. They are performed in the best scientific way. And there was a smaller number of people who had a heart attack in a treatment group. We'd taken all trials together in the treatment groups. There was a smaller number in the treatment groups. But the reason is most likely that these trials were not performed blindly. And by blindly, we mean that double blind. We mean that neither the doctor or the patient knows who is on treatment and who is not. Many of these trials were performed in a way that both patients and doctors knew to which group they belonged. So the reason why I think this is the expression is because heart mortality was identical in treatment and control groups. There was no difference. Worse was that total mortality was higher in the treatment groups. Now, the drug companies, they have had an immense luck because a few years later the statins were introduced. And then the argument was, yes, but we didn't lower cholesterol as much as we should have done. It was lower. It wasn't lowered sufficiently. It was only lowered by 5 or 12%. Now we have a drug that is able to lower cholesterol by up to 40 or 50%.
Statins are a class of drugs that are used to lower cholesterol. Ravensko explains how the results of the statin trials need to be seen for what they really are.
At the first glance, the results seem impressive. Here is the results of the 5 of the 6 first statin trials, and you see here that heart mortality was lowered with up to 40%. Here I have to explain the difference between relative and absolute percentage. These figures concerns relative percentage. It means it is the results from the two trials are compared with each other. I shall explain it a little better in a moment. I can give you an example. If you have invented a drug, Heart Friend, and you want to test it to see if it's able to reduce the risk of heart disease, then you have 1,000 patients in one group and 1,000 in another group, and you give this drug. Already after a week, 2 patients died in those who didn't get Heart Friend, and 1 in the group that had your new medicine. Now you can tell the world that I have lowered heart mortality with 50% in just a week. Because the difference is 1, and 1 is 50% of 2. Oh, it's not that worse, but it's very close. So I should see. Let us see the next figures.
Drug companies say that these drugs can lower cholesterol by 40 to 50%, but let's look more closely at how they arrived at these figures.
The difference in measured in absolute percentages is trivial, I will say. In particular, in the trials where you treat healthy people with high cholesterol, is the Voskops and the AFCAPS trial. The 0.12, that is the difference. 0.12% of those who were treated was saved from heart disease. Here's the figures from that trial. In the lovastatin group, those who got the statins, there were 11 dead people. In the control group, there were 15. The difference is 4, and 4 is correct, 27% of 15. But you have to know how many patients you treated. Here, there were more than 3,000 in each group, and the percentage of those who died is very small, 0.33 and 0.45, and the difference is trivial. I prefer to tell the patients another story. I tell them, do you want to go on statins? Okay. Your chance to die without statin treatment, if you are a healthy individual and your only problem is high cholesterol, the chance of surviving the next 4 years, according to the data from the FCAPS trial, is 99.55%. But you can increase that chance to 99.77% but you have to take lovastatin every day for 4 years. And this is not without problems. This is a trial we never hear about. The first statin trials called EXCEL, 8,000 people was treated with lovastatin, and these were healthy people with high cholesterol once again. And already after 1 year, 0.5% of in the lovastatin group had died against 0.2% in a control group. But then the trial was stopped because, as the directors told us, we didn't want to see if it could prevent heart disease. We would just know if the treatment was if the patients tolerated the treatment, and they did. It is possible to lower mortality in certain patients. Young middle-aged men with heart disease, with severe heart disease, they are infected. They are improved a little. I will not deny that, but it is not due to cholesterol lowering. And the reason I'm saying that is there is no dose response. And what does that mean? Dose response, if you have a substance or a factor that you claim that the more of that factor you have in your blood, the greater is the risk. If the more you lower that factor, the better your chance will be to avoid that risk. Then most important measure to do is to calculate dose response. And with that we mean that there should be an association between the lowering of that substance and the outcome. The more we lower it, the better is the outcome. It's logical. It's absolutely central in science. But there is no dose response. And the reason is that the statins have many other effects than to lower cholesterol. At least 11 various effects of the statins. The statins are able to influence many factors that may be beneficial for the cardiovascular system. I have mentioned here a few of them. And therefore, the trial directors, they say, it's not that big, but we have a positive effect. And the side effects are mild and very rare. So why not put it in the drinking water, they say. There's a problem. The side effects are underreported.
The side effect of the statin drugs include muscle pain and weakness, most likely due to the depletion of coenzyme Q10, a nutrient that supports muscle function. Polyneuropathy, also known as peripheral neuropathy, is characterized by weakness, tingling, and pain in the hands and feet, as well as difficulty in walking. Heart failure. Deaths attributed to heart failure more than doubled from 1989 to 1997. Statins were first given pre-market approval in 1987. Interference with the production of the coenzyme Q10 by statin drugs is the most likely explanation. The heart is a muscle, and it can't work when deprived of coenzyme Q10. Other important side effects of the statins, these cholesterol-lowering drugs, are memory loss and cancer.
This is the way how they select patients for the trial. This is from one of the more recent trials, the TNT trial, where they compared a low dose with a high statin dose. And here they started with more than 18,000 individuals, which they said should be tested by statins. After having examined them, they excluded 3,000 of these patients. These patients were those who had been treated for cancer, who has heart failure, who has other serious liver disease, any serious disease that could shorten their life. After having excluded these 3,000 individuals, they gave a small statin dose for 8 weeks to all participants to see how they tolerated the statins, and those who did not tolerate statins, they were excluded. And those who had heart attacks or died from heart attacks during these 8 weeks, they were excluded also. And 349 individuals, they were excluded for other reasons. We are not told why. And 70 were excluded because they did not comply with treatment, meaning that they didn't like the drug, of course. So the rest, 10,000, we have taken away almost half of those we originally had selected for the trial. And of course, you have a selection of healthy patients, will I say. They are much more tolerant than those you meet in the doctor's office. They will tolerate statins much better than the average patient. And this is one of the reasons that the side effects are underreported. But there are others, I assure you. Here are the known side effects. They are certainly, some of them are certainly not mild, but they say they are rare, I doubt. One of the most common side effects is muscle pain. And the trial directors, they claim that less than 1% have complaints from their muscles. But a recent German study found that they treated 25 patients with familial hypercholesterolemia, 20 young people, and 17 of these 20, they couldn't fulfill the treatment because of side effects. These were sports people, of course they are more sensitive to muscular problems, but old people are also. The reason why they are not recorded, I think, is that these problems do not occur immediately, like an allergic reaction or so. It will take some time before the symptoms appear, and the patient, he will forget that this might be an effect of the treatment. He has already taken the treatment for half a year. How could this be a cause of the treatment? What is happening is that a very important substance, coenzyme Q10, it's very important for cellular production of energy. It is the synthesis of that substance is inhibited, as well as cholesterol and many other substances. And day by day, the concentration of Q10 is lowered, and sooner or later the muscle symptoms appear. Well, I'll not go in more details, but only mention the worst side effect I can see, and this is cancer. All animal experiments with statins have shown that statins produce cancer. This is a review from two American researchers published in 10 years ago, and they pointed out that all trials with statins produce cancer. However, the drug companies have said this must be special for rats and mice, because we can't see any effects on the DNA. Such effects are usually seen when the substances are carcinogenic, when they produce cancer. And they also claim that we haven't seen cancer in the trials. But this is not true. One of the first trials, 13 women had breast cancer in the treatment group against only one in the control group. But after that, all trial directors, they exclude patients who have been treated for breast cancer. Another trial, the PROSPER trial, here the incidence of cancer, the number of patients with cancer, was significantly, statistically significantly higher in the treatment group than in the control group. And in fact, what they won in fewer heart attacks, they lost in more cancer deaths. The director said, well, this must be a coincidence, because now we have made a meta-analysis. We have compared the results from all the statins, and we cannot see any increase in cancer. Well, there are two comments to that statement. First, to produce cancer demands many, many years. You cannot produce cancer in 5 or 10 years in human beings. You can do it in mice, but not in human beings. Take, for instance, smoking. You do not get lung cancer even if you have smoked heavily for 10 years. It takes much longer time. The other thing is that what they forget to mention is that in the PROSPER trial, they have studied old people only. The mean age was about 78 years in that group. No, below age 72 were included, whereas the mean age in all the other trials was 25 years lower. And we know that old people, many old people, have dormant cancer cells. They're lying and waiting for something to stimulate or tell them that now it's time to grow. And for instance, it could be statin treatment. So I'm very concerned about this finding.
Ravenscoe presents a summary of his findings.
Well, this is a summary of my conclusions, that high cholesterol does not cause heart disease, because first, high cholesterol does not cause atherosclerosis, as I have shown you. For most people, high cholesterol is not a risk factor, and you cannot lower your risk by lowering your cholesterol. It's very simple. What I say is high cholesterol is good, because low cholesterol is a risk factor for many serious diseases, most of all for cancer, for respiratory and gastrointestinal diseases. Respiratory gastrointestinal diseases, they are mostly infectious, and it has been shown in many, many studies that low cholesterol is a risk factor for all types of infectious diseases. Here's my last argument for the benefit of high cholesterol. Old people with high cholesterol, they live longer than old people with low cholesterol. So don't be afraid. Again, how come that you haven't heard about all that? And I'll give you a new example of the way they cheat us. Here is a statement from La Rosa, one of the main figures in the cholesterol campaign. What he says here, those of you who are engaged in healthcare, you have certainly heard that before, that the results from the Framingham study indicate that a 1% reduction in an individual's total serum cholesterol translates into an approximate 2% reduction in cardiovascular risk, CHD, that is coronary heart disease. I have made it a habit always to check the references for these studies, because the references are almost always misleading. And where does that come from? Yes, they come from a study, again, from Framingham. But in that study, you can read the following. For each 1 milligram per deciliter drop of the cholesterol, there was an 11% increase in coronary and total mortality. If you doubt, you can get the reference, you can go to the university library and read the paper yourself. I have touched this issue very, very superficially. There's much, much more about it. There's much more contradictory evidence. You will find much of it in my book and also in Antoni's book, the next one here. You can buy them here out afterwards if you want to. But you can also get much information from the internet. The first one is the homepage for THINCS, the International Network of Cholesterol Skeptics. We are about 80 scientists and doctors and science writers from all over the world that we are trying to inform people about this issue. And on our homepage, you will find many, many interesting papers or other things. And here are a few of the homepages from some of our members. And here you will also find much interesting stuff. That's all. Thank you.
You can hear more about this challenging subject from the webpage www.thinks.org. That's thincs.org. Orfeu Ravenscoe is the author of The Cholesterol Myths, and he was speaking in Sydney August 2006.